Welcome to Reasonably Fit, the podcast where we'll teach you everything you need to know about health and fitness, but in a much more reasonable way than you might be used to.
Think about us as your friendly fitness experts, but we're chill about it.
Welcome.
Oh, wow. We've done like five iterations of an intro, and Jason every time has been, hello, hello, hello. And then all of a sudden he came in with a welcome, like a very excited. I liked that one, actually. That was my favorite.
All right. So this is episode one of the brand new iteration of our podcast. This is interesting for us because we are actually recording in our house, not only in our house, but I'm going to set the scene here. We're actually in a room offset to our master bedroom.
Yeah.
It's an interesting room. I think
it like makes no sense for a house to have this room.
It's totally weird.
Unless you're going to podcast in your house.
I think they said it was meant to be a potential walk-in closet
situation. Which is outrageous.
Outrageous. Yeah. Our clothes are in much smaller closets. But we saw this room and we're like, this is actually kind of perfect. We could even record a podcast if the kids were here running around the house. Well, I guess someone would have to pay attention to that.
I mean,
if your parents were here looking after them, we could pop in here, record a quick podcast.
Don't judge our parenting. We just leave our kids downstairs and let them fend for themselves. They're fine. They're fine. They're 3 and 6 months. They're fine.
Yeah. So now, needless to say, we are in a much more comfortable setting. We are literally in our own house. But we spruced it up a little bit. We made it a little bit more of a set because we knew we'd be videotaping. We do have lights on us right now. So there's a little bit of element of like, okay, this isn't actually just our house. It's actually a part of a studio. But we are nonetheless in the zone.
Totally.
We are excited. And I really like this room. I feel like I can be in here all day recording podcasts, basically.
So many windows. It's so bright. It feels great.
Which is really different from our previous location where we filmed some of these podcasts because we were in an office space. It was called Spaces. And we'd have people walking up and down the corridors and they would inevitably look in. And because the windows were like kind of like not necessarily like very see-through or visible, they would poke their head in and they'd do that thing where they'd cup their hands on the windows and look in. And we're trying to focus, but they'd see this whole scene of like lights and sound panels and all that. And it was very distracting. But now we are now just face to face in a much more comfortable,
these comfy chairs in this comfy nice room so. In our house. It feels great. And I feel like we should probably also just introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
Because some of you listening actually have no idea that we used to have a podcast at all, even though we did like 150 episodes or something. But we are really wanting to change things up from that. So we wanted to start fresh and we should just introduce ourselves and kind of give a little. We did do a trailer episode, so make sure you listen to that.
Yep.
But we didn't want that to be boring with like, I'm Lauren and I'm Jason.
We're so excited for a brand new podcast. But basically, we're doing that right now.
We're going to bore you with that information now, just so you know sort of where we're coming from and why you might be interested in listening to us.
Yeah. So we're Jason and Lauren Pack, and we are a husband and wife duo. We have two lovely kids.
Kendrick and Kinsley.
3 years and 6 months. 7 months?
She's 7 months tomorrow.
7 months tomorrow. Oh, perfect. And yeah, we have been working as personal trainers since 2007. Prior to that, we actually went to college together. We went to Northeastern University. Lauren was probably the most in shape and most gung-ho about fitness person that I knew. I would be working out, doing a casual strength training session, and I would go back to where the track was. And Lauren had just been doing an entire track workout. She's been doing an ab workout. Like, she's been working out for like an hour and a half. She's got her flashcards so that she can research and study for her exam in between sets of sprints and all that. So she's huffing and puffing and learning at the same time. And I'd be like, wow, she's very intense. She's very fit.
This was a time in my life that was actually not very healthy. Just to put it out there. I've grown. We'll probably have a whole episode on Lauren's journey.
Lauren's unreasonably fit beginning to her fitness journey.
Extremely unreasonable at the time. Yeah.
But anyway, we started off as personal trainers at a commercial gym called Boston Sports Club. If you are in the Boston, New York, Philadelphia area, like you know about this chain of clubs, which actually recently shut down, I think. Yeah. But basically, we got our start there, and it was awesome because it was a gym. It was a brand new gym that had just opened up, so all the trainers there were all new. There was just a lot of good energy and vibes around it. I think there are certain gyms, when they've been around for a long time, they sort of kind of get a little bit run down, a little bit decrepit, and the energy kind of dies down a little bit. But we were thrilled at that time. We were like, this is so awesome. We get to just work in our sweatpants every day, and it's great. But basically, we got our feet wet into the industry there for about 3 years. And then we moved on to a local private training facility where we continued to work on one-on-one with a lot of the previous clients that we had before, which was great because it was a nice continuation. We worked there for about three-ish years as well. And then after that, we actually decided to make the jump and go and open up our own gym called Achieve Fitness. And we actually owned that for 8 years. Yep. And we had just recently shut down. A lot of it was due to the pandemic, a lot for other reasons and various factors. But we shut that down. And yeah, now we are content creators. We have a program online for folks to strength train all around the world and join us. And we do a lot of social media stuff. But I think when people see us now, let's say on Instagram, or we're on TikTok too.
Oh my God. And parents on TikTok.
And I think people kind of, they don't know that we've been in this field for 15 years.
True.
Yeah, at this point. And so I think it's funny when we get pushback on some of the stuff or like comments about we don't know what we're talking about. It's like, we've been doing this for so long. But we don't want to say because we don't want to reveal our age. But
yeah, we don't want to sound old. Old and grumpy and cynical.
But anyway, yeah, a little bit. We've been working as trainers for quite a while now. And
yeah, and if you haven't listened to the trailer episode, listen to that because it just kind of gives a broad overview of why we're doing this podcast, what it's going to be, what you should expect out of it.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely not going to be sort of your traditional health and fitness and wellness podcast that's out there. Yeah. A lot of what's out there is a little bit more extreme, and we're trying to be a little bit more reasonable.
So that's how, yeah, we came up with the title.
And the reason that we wanted to give a little bit of background is because the fact that we've been working with people for that long is sort of how we came to this idea that most people just want to be reasonably fit, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not because that's just what we do with ourselves and it works, or it's not an N equals one like experiment. It's like years and years and years of working with real people in real life, hearing their stories, hearing their goals, and realizing that what the fitness industry puts on you as what your goals should be typically isn't actually what people are looking to do. And then it kind of creates sort of all of this shame and negativity around health and fitness.
Yeah.
And really, people just want to be reasonably fit.
Yeah, we've only been able to get to this point because we've actually been working with people face to face, and we've had to unlearn a lot of these sort of just influences from mainstream fitness that have been placed upon us and basically everyone else in the world. And so we've had to do a lot of unlearning of all this sort of advice. Like, we've given so much, kind of like regurgitated a lot of this mainstream advice to our clients. And over the years, it's been like, it's either been pushed back at us or not as well received or didn't produce as great results as we thought. And each time, because we wanted to be better and better trainers, we would dig deeper and find out, okay, why isn't this advice working? Why isn't this approach working? And we would keep refining our craft. And yeah, just over 15 years, you know, we have a lot of people on social media saying that we're level-headed, we're a breath of fresh air, and all these sort of nice things. But we've only gotten to this point because we've actually been working with people who have been giving us a daily dose of like real advice, realism, and be like, you know, I can't do that because I have 3 kids. I can't do that because I'm working 55 plus hours per week. I can't do that for X, Y, and Z reasons. And we're like, oh you can't just go sleep for 8 hours, drink twice, half your body weight in ounces.
Meditate in the morning.
Meal prep, like you can't do all that. And so we've gone through a lot of those different lessons and trials and tribulations, but we've come out on the other end of it, and we want to hopefully just bring some more grounded realism to the fitness industry because of those lessons.
Yeah, because I think that we are made out to feel like if you can't do all of those things, like, why even try? Like, I remember one of my clients came in and she was like, I read this article that said, if you're not getting 8 hours of sleep, you might as well not even work out because your workouts won't even be effective because you're not getting 8 hours of sleep. And this client had just had a baby. Like, she was just coming back to starting to lift again. She was just trying to get some movement back in. She wanted to feel like herself again. Her workouts were just for her to have an hour outside of the house that wasn't with a baby crying. And she was like, and now I just feel like, what's even the point? Like, why am I even here? Yeah. And so it just like that really switched something in my mind that was like the way that we present this information, even though the study was about how important sleep is, the way that we present it is so important. Mm. And the way that we make sure that we're not like making people feel bad if they can't do it, or at least providing other options for people who aren't necessarily in the place in their life where that is possible.
Yeah.
Right. Not saying if you can't do this, you might as well give up.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And that's what a lot of fitness feels like. If you can't work out 7 days a week, what are you even doing? If you can't meditate in the morning, you won't have the mental headspace to get through your day. And it's like, well, I mean, my son this morning woke up, I was just like brushing my teeth and all of a sudden I hear screaming for mom at 6:15 in the morning when he's supposed to sleep until 7. So like, even if I had planned on meditating, if I couldn't do it because he woke me up, do I then give up on my day? Is my day ruined? Or do I say like, okay, it would have been awesome if I got to that, but I can do it tomorrow, or I can try to do it this afternoon, or I can find some other time. Like, it just flexibility and being able to just say like, okay, I didn't get to it, it's not the end of the world, I can still keep going is so important.
Yeah. And I think personally, I think for both of us, we've gotten to this point of now we are so flexible, so adaptable based upon whatever the day throws at us, whatever our kids throw at us. But before that, we were under all the same influence as well. And so we would be so frustrated if, let's say, we got sick or something in our lives would happen that was unexpected that we had to go tend to, or we'd have to work longer hours so we couldn't work out that day. And all these like little things that pop up and we would get so frustrated, like let's say our workouts were cut short, or our like my back started hurting or my knees started hurting. And it would just be this all or nothing approach, all or nothing mentality. And now we can be like, oh, my knee hurts a little bit, I can just adjust to this. Or, oh, my workout's going to be a little shorter, so now I can just truncate some of this part of the workout that isn't as necessary for me based upon my goals and move on this way. And I think these are some of the tools that we want to provide you where you can just adapt and adjust on the fly and just be able to be mentally okay with everything because it's under this guise of being reasonably fit, reasonably healthy for the long term, which ultimately will probably get to your results much quicker than you would than if you were to try to just race and get to that goal as quickly as possible, because that's just a recipe for burnout on sustainability, right?
Yeah, exactly. So instead of all in and then all out and then all in and then all out, it's just this sort of level playing field.
Even keeled. Yeah.
So that's our little background. That's our little story. And I think we should get into today's topic.
Yeah.
This one is probably the most asked question when we do like an Instagram Q&A or even just comments on Instagram or anywhere we put out things on social media. People are always like, how do I get my motivation back if I've lost my motivation? Or how do you get motivated to work out? Or how are you guys so motivated to get your workouts in? It happens all the time. We get that question all the time.
Yeah.
It's
something that, going back to when we were first starting out as trainers, we would get this question and I would always freeze because I'm like, how do I possibly answer this question for this individual of how to get started with their workouts and be motivated and whatnot? And what I interpreted it as a young trainer who had tons of imposter syndrome, I would be like, oh, I have to be extra motivating. I have to be a motivational speaker / trainer / therapist / whatever. And I felt like I had to, this sort of like, they're paying me for me to motivate them. Mm. And it took a long time to realize that I couldn't be that source because not only was it unsustainable, but it wasn't helpful in the long run for them. And so this topic, as we've kind of gone through our careers, I think this topic has been a lot more, we found a more reasonable approach to finding quote unquote motivation.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times when people ask this question on like to influencers or to people who haven't necessarily worked with people in real life, they get answers Like, I mean, what are some of the common answers? They're like, start with why, start with your why.
Yeah.
Or like,
yeah, start with your why is a big one. It's like, write down your why, put it in on the mirror and read that every day and create a mantra around it. And that works for some people. And we've definitely given that advice.
Yeah,
and,
all the time.
And the even deeper advice, which we thought was so deep, was start with your why. And then ask why once they give you the answer why.
Oh, yeah, and then do that then seven more
do
times.
Do that 12,000 more times. And then you'll get to the true reason why they want to work out. And then they'll remember that moment. And then they'll be committed to fitness for the rest of their life.
I think that's Simon Sinek or that's somebody's.
Yeah, and it's great. It's great overall.
It's a great thing to practice.
And it's great things to like build upon. But yeah, there's just all sorts of advice out there that is, again, just external or just not practical enough.
Yeah.
It's a little bit either too in the clouds or too unrealistic.
Or sometimes it's a little bit like motivational quotes and things like that that maybe sound okay, but like it just aren't actually helpful. Like motivation is not like hearing a quote is not going to keep your motivation high throughout the rest of your life.
Yeah, exactly.
It like might get you to that one workout one day, but motivation is so fleeting, and I don't think that the goal is to always be super motivated. And so today I think what we'll do is sort of kick off more practical advice for just in general how to stay consistent with your workouts.
Yeah, totally.
And I think the first thing to just talk about is that most people aren't unmotivated.
Like
if you're listening to this podcast, you are interested in health and fitness. You probably have a career or kids or family or friends or things in your life that you're very motivated to do and that you're very successful in. And people all the time are like, I'm so unmotivated when they're talking about fitness.
Yeah.
But in the rest of their lives, they have a ton of motivation to do things that have made them very, very successful.
Yeah. Right? I mean, we've gotten this so many times when we worked with people that are, you know, literally executives of their company, or they have like five kids, or they're working 65 plus hours as a freelancer or a consultant, and they're doing all these like high profile things, or they're just extremely successful athletes. And, you know, whatever it is, we see certain hobbies or occupations or things that they do that they're obsessed about and passionate about, and they're so excited to talk about it. And then when it comes to health and fitness, they're like, oh, I'm just an unmotivated person.
Right.
And it's like, no, it's just not necessarily motivating for you right now, but you're not unmotivated. You have all these sorts of hobbies and passions that you find very motivating and you're very into. And we know that so many of you out there who believe that you're unmotivated, that you're not disciplined, that you're not good enough. And that's something that we really want to push back against, because that is just not the case.
It's not
true.
You know,
you have stuff that you are very passionate about, that you are obsessed about, that you want to get better and better at refining your craft about. And we want to kind of bring it back a little bit and say that maybe it's not you that's the problem, but maybe it's just this whole idea of motivation around fitness as a whole that's the issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think what people are mainly looking for with fitness is for fitness to just naturally and seamlessly be a part of their life and fit into their life. They're not actually they don't want to actually rely on motivation, quote unquote motivation, to get them to their workouts. They want fitness to just be this sort of like seamless, natural part of their lives. And when we think about motivation, that's, again, like I was saying before, it's so fleeting that isn't actually going to push the needle forward, and it's not actually going to help you move along in your journey like as well as you think it's going to. Like, people think that they need this just like motivational speech and then they're gonna do it forever, but it's really gonna be more about how to make fitness fit into your life in a really natural and seamless way that doesn't require motivation, really.
yeah And I think, should we get to the first solution? I guess
I think we should.
So I think one of the main reasons why people like will start off strong and be like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get into this routine, and then it is kind of fleeting, is because I think people make fitness too difficult, where it's like their workout, they need to leave their workout feeling like they just destroyed themselves and they're in a puddle of sweat on the floor, just basically dying. And then they pick themselves back up. They're extremely sore the next day. They can barely walk up and down the stairs. And these are their barometers for success. And this is what mainstream fitness wants to make it look like, right? Whether it's commercials or magazines, like people are just in a puddle of sweat, just heaving up and down with their breathing. And they're just so exhausted and toast. And that is just not sustainable.
Right.
And so we want to bring it back to, okay, what kind of workouts are you following in the first place? These workouts have to be sustainable and they have to be reasonable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Like if your workouts leave you completely dead and depleted, you're going to have a very hard time getting motivated to do them. Right. Mm-hmm. And like we were actually just talking about this the other night and saying that, so we work out at night. We work out after we put our kids to bed, after we've worked a full day, then we've picked up our kids from daycare, and then we've done, you know, dinner, bath time, bedtime, whatever.
The last hour and a half of our routine is just chaos. Is frantic. it's frantic but controlled. And we're doing, I'm helping my son do number two, brush his teeth, change into his PJs, get moisturizer on, like get all prepped. And while Lauren is
Feeding the baby,
reading books, getting her changed, getting her lotioned up. And then we do a little switcheroo where I finish the routine for her and put her to bed while Lauren takes over and reads the books for Kendrick, because Kendrick doesn't want me to read the books. He wants Lauren to read the books. And we're doing this like chaotic thing. And at the end, we're like, we get to the kitchen. We're like, whew.
We literally high five after every bedtime we're like, routine. We're like, all right, we did it. Another one done. And it does feel like it would be very easy to just go sit on the couch and have a glass of wine, right? Yes, like it would just be very easy to feel like we just did a lot, and like gearing up for a workout could feel very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so what we've done is we've created a workout routine where we're not having to then go from doing all of that to going into this intense workout. Because if we did try to do that, if we were going to go downstairs and like do a WOD, we wouldn't do it. Like, yeah. It would feel so overwhelming. It would feel so like we'd have to gear ourselves up. We would definitely have to rely on some external motivation to get ourselves down there to feel like, okay, I have to do this like grueling workout and I don't want to.
Right. Yeah.
But instead we know that it's going to be a slower pace. Like we don't rush through our workouts. We go a little bit slower. We do things that we enjoy. We don't feel like we're crushing ourselves with every workout. So we've been able to do it very consistently.
Yeah. Yeah. Our workouts, they slowly ramp up. They go from warm up to power development, to strength training, to basically an optional finisher at the end if we have more energy. And our workout program is called Rise, and all of you risers out there know exactly what we're talking about, but we just ramp right into it. And yeah, like Lauren is saying, if we were to go down and just hit the ground running with this grueling, intense workout, we just would have no interest. Maybe we might for the first couple of weeks, and then we would just definitely die down. But the other reassurance that we know is that we know that these workouts, they're not lesser than the really intense workouts that you might see on social media or in commercials. We know that progress is being made and we're pushing the needle forward with our workouts because we know the right barometers to or measurements to really look out for. And that's, are our reps increasing? Are our sets increasing? Is the weight increasing? Is our technique getting better? Are the degree of difficulty of our lifts, are they getting more intense and more difficult slowly over time? And so we're looking at these key indicators, not how sore we are, not how sweaty we are at the end of the workout, not how little we can move after the workouts, right? And so because these indicators are so much more tangible and so much more in our control and so much more manageable and reasonable, we're able to then take solace in the fact that our workouts can be challenging, but not soul crushing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So if you're listening and like motivation has been a problem for you, maybe start with trying to do workouts that are less grueling, less overwhelming, meeting yourself at a place where you feel like, I absolutely feel like I can do this no matter whether I'm tired after work, whether I just did an hour long bedtime routine with two kids, like whatever your situation is. You should feel like you can get this done. You can do this. It should feel approachable. And that's going to be different for everyone. So right now we feel like we're in a place where our Rise workouts do feel very doable. We mm-hmm. don't feel like we're not dreading going downstairs. For some people that might be a mobility routine.
Yeah.
Like for some people it might be like, I'm just going to go downstairs and do a 5-minute mobility video on YouTube. Yeah. And like, that's going to be something that I do every night or whatever, 2 nights a week, however, whatever works for you. It needs to feel like so manageable that there's no doubt in your mind you're going to get it done.
Yeah.
Because this moment in time is not forever. And so when I think everybody thinks it needs to be like, if I'm not doing like with a sleep thing, like if I'm not doing it all, if I'm not putting every ounce of energy into this workout right now, what's even the point? But for us, it's like the point is that next week you can do maybe a little more. And then next week you can maybe do a little bit more and you can make this a little bit more natural of a routine. You can make this a little bit more a part of your life very gradually so that you don't have to think about it. It's just something that you do. But if you're going into it being like, okay, I should do this. I have to do this workout. I said I was going to do this workout, but I don't want to. Like, that's just going to be hard to sustain.
Yeah, totally. Right. So it's the very first overall solution to all this, to quote unquote finding your motivation, is just taking a step back and making sure that the workouts are going to be manageable for you. And you can always build back up or scale it back depending on what time of life it is, yeah. right? And that kind of brings us to our next solution, which is making sure that your schedule is manageable for you at this current moment in time, right? And so we would be working with individuals where their careers would be there would basically be like an off season and an in season. Like, let's say you're an accountant, like your in season of work is going to be from January to about May, where you're really just buckling down and doing tons of whatever accountants do, tax stuff, tax returns and all that. But then after that, you kind of can ease down. So whenever it's your busy time in your life for work, don't try to do as many workouts or as many just physical fitnessy activities during that time. You can give yourself grace and allow yourself to breathe during that time and focus on your career, focus on your occupation. And then once you're past that moment, then you can go into your in-season for your training and you can bump up to 3-4 days a week, whereas before you might have been working out 1 to 2 times a week. And so this sort of flexible and adaptable approach that we've been talking about just allows yourself to be mentally so much more in control rather than having your life dictate your emotions, and you can kind of get into these sort of spirals, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And so the idea of setting up your schedule doesn't have to be permanent. It's just look at your life right now and figure out an ideal schedule for you that feels manageable. And everything, I mean, we're going to sound like broken records, I think, a lot on this podcast, because a lot of it comes down to being manageable, being reasonable, being sustainable. But that's because that's what will help you become reasonably fit. That's what's going to help you be able to make this all fit into your life so much more seamlessly. So a schedule that you pick now doesn't have to be your schedule a year from now. It doesn't have to be your schedule 2 weeks from now. Nothing is permanent and nothing is like determining what you're going to do forever. It's just understanding this is the season of life that I'm in and this is how I think I can approach this right now.
Yeah.
And just continuously reevaluating as you go through life. Like, I can't think of, we've gone through so many phases in the last 2 years of our lives.
Yeah.
And we have changed and adjusted our workout schedules so much.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm working out more days a week than I have in years.
Yeah.
Because I've been either pregnant and dealing with morning sickness, or we've been running the gym and dealing with covering shifts that we needed to cover when we weren't expecting to, or staying up late working. And, you know, life right now for us feels a little more like easy.
Manageable.
Yeah. And so we can ramp up to, and we used to, it's so funny because even we always like kind of fall into these traps, right? We've been trainers for a long time and we're influenced by the fitness industry just as much as everybody listening. Like, that's, we're hearing it a lot because we're in it. And so when we were so busy, our recommendation started to be like, you don't have to work out 5, 6, 7 days a week. That's too much. And we started to go in the opposite direction of being like, that's too much. Just work out 3 days a week. It's because that's what was working for us at that time. And now that we're working out, we're able to work out more and it feels good and feels manageable. I'm like, oh, I guess it is okay to work out 5, 6, 7 days a week if that's the stage of your life that you're in. But it's just so hard to hear what other people are doing and not compare what you're doing and want to make what you're doing fit into what you think you should be doing. But the reality is everyone is just in a different place in their life and nobody should be trying to match or do what somebody who's in a completely different phase of their life is doing.
Yeah. I mean, that's so funny that you say that because when we first started, we were all gung-ho. I mean, we were 20, 21 years old, and we were telling our 40 to 50-year-old clients that they need to work out 4 to 5 times a week and all the sort of advice like, oh, if you're hungry, like have one small handful of almonds and like, you know, all the sort of advice that we gave. And then the pendulum swung the extreme other way. Yeah. After 5, 6 years, we're like, okay, this really isn't working. Why isn't this working? We're like, okay, oh, we need to be so much more reasonable and so much more manageable with our expectations to the point where we were almost undercutting people that were in the time and place of their lives where they could dedicate a lot more time and energy to their fitness. And so we were telling people that we're so ready for 5 days a week, 6 days a week of working out that that's actually not great. That's going to impact your recovery. That's not sustainable. Like you might feel motivated now, but we want to make sure that this is for the long term. And now,
but it was actually like dulling their
motivation. Like, okay, what a buzzkill. But now, you know, 14 years in, now we can be like, okay, what works for you at this current moment in time in your life? And then we can work from there, not putting our own sort of spin or agenda on things.
Yeah.
And so I think just identifying where you are right now.
Yeah. All right. So that's number two. So number one, we'll just keep recapping. So number one was your workouts don't have to be super grueling.
Grueling, yep.
Number two is find the right schedule for you, not what you think you should be doing, not what your friend is doing, not what your trainer is doing. Like find what works for you in terms of how many days a week you're trying to exercise.
Yep.
Number three is going to be have some form of accountability. So this one is really helpful for me, especially to work out with you is so helpful. I've told you multiple times, if you weren't going downstairs, I probably wouldn't. I really do. Accountability for me is really important because I thrive off of relationships. That's something that's really important to me. So if somebody who I love is going to work out, I want to join them. Like I want to be a part of it. I want to chat. I want to do things together. And I would feel like I'm missing out if you went downstairs and worked out and I didn't. So for me, sometimes I'm feeling very unmotivated to actually lift, but I am motivated to do it together.
Yeah. Which is funny because earlier in our relationship and our friendship as well, you were the one that was pushing that.
Yeah.
And I would be the one be like, oh, okay, I guess I'll do it because Lauren's doing it. And now the roles have reversed a little bit based at this point in our lives.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it, again, for me, goes back to point number one, where now the workouts that we're doing are a lot more manageable. And I don't feel like I have to push myself to do this certain way. Because at that point in time, I was doing really heavy 5x5 squat, bench, and deadlift. And I was doing that week in, week out, no sort of like break in progression, no deloads, no sort of periodization at all. It was just heavy, heavy, heavy. And it was the last thing I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so this is why this is sort of like a little bit further down the list because it kind of takes less of a priority, I guess. But for this kind of third solution, I guess, accountability is a big part of it. And over the years, we've come up with various different strategies in order to sort of find the right accountability approach for people. One thing that we did at Achieve Fitness, our old gym, was we had this accountability challenge called Achieve 60. And it ran from September 15th through December 31st. And we first put it together because we realized that people were having problems with quote unquote motivation during that time because life is just busy at that point.
It's the holidays.
There's so much going on, so many obligations. And so we put this challenge together called Achieve 60, and we challenged our members to try to complete 60 workouts throughout that time period. And that averaged out to about 3.75 per week.
About approximately 3.7565
per week. And their only form of motivation was that we gave them a card with 60 blank spaces and we gave them a stamp at the end of each workout.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how motivating it was. People, like, we'd have this line of 20 people deep after a class, and they're like, we've been talking about, like, very successful in their careers or like just have a lot going on, and they're just like sitting there like a first grader with their card in their hands, like giddy for their stamp and their or their sticker. And you just need to find something that is motivating and provides accountability for you. So it could be as small as that, or it could be some sort of challenge that you find online. There's plenty on YouTube and Instagram, or you might belong to a gym that has certain challenges like this that you could adhere to, and it works really well for you. But there are other different forms of accountability that we can go further up on the list for.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a reason that you see, like, you know, Peloton or different apps give you trophies and different, right?
Yeah.
Different, like,
gamification, yeah, systems.
All, right. It's all a form of accountability to something, someone, or to yourself. But it's like having that external factor can be helpful. I think a lot of times when you talk about motivation, people are like, it has to be internal motivation, intrinsic motivation. You can't rely on extrinsic things. And, like, yes, there's some truth to that for sure. But also, it doesn't hurt. Like,
yeah,
if it's a, and again, like you were just saying, like, it's further down on the list, because I think if we put this first, there's, what if your accountability partner doesn't show up? Then,
yeah,
are you not going to do your workout? Like, what if you are feeling ready to do it and then you realize that, like, oh, the challenge is over. Are you not going to do your workout even though you were feeling ready for it, but
yeah,
now your accountability isn't there. And so, like, why do it? So again, we're kind of like putting this in order of priority, because having number one and two taken care of makes number three just this, like, extra bonus.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that really accelerates things or enhances things,
yeah,
but isn't relying upon it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and one more point that I wanted to add in for the accountability part is, this ties back into point number one, but finding something that works for you in terms of a workout regimen. So whether that's finding a personal trainer or finding the right gym or finding the right online strength training program or finding the right instructors that you like to follow on YouTube. Like, there's all sorts of different ways to go about it, but having someone else there, or a workout buddy, like you were talking about before, having someone else there that is also holding you accountable in a direct or indirect way can be really helpful, especially if there's some level of workout guidance involved, because then it all kind of ties into one another.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great point. Yeah. I mean, your environment is a big factor in finding an environment that works for you.
Yeah.
And again, you'll hear, I feel like a lot of the fitness industry is about bashing things that the people who are talking about it don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, people would be like, oh, like, spin classes are stupid, or, oh, CrossFit is stupid, or, oh, like, Pilates is stupid. It's like, it's always bashing something
yeah,
for the sake of, like, pushing forward your own agenda, right?
Right.
And that we see that so frequently. And it took us literally this morning, we did a mega former class, which,
so fancy.
I called it Pilates the first day, and then the owner was like, so it's actually not Pilates. She was so polite about it, and I was like, oh, sorry. See, like, I've spent so long in the strength and conditioning world that I always thought that this stuff was ineffective, not the best use of your time, and all, you know, all these things, because it's been told to me by my peers. And then we started taking them, we're like, this is awesome. Number one, it feels great. Number two, I love having somebody else, like, as a trainer, having somebody else lead me through something. I'm not thinking. I just get to do it. I don't have to worry about anything, about programming or about sets and reps. They're telling me everything to do.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And years ago, I would have said that you probably should switch that out for a strength training workout, because that's going to be more effective. And the reality is, I'm very motivated to go to this class every week, because mm-hmm, it feels like an hour of I'm moving my body feels good, and I'm also in this, like, good mental headspace.
Yeah. And we had so many examples of that when we were working as trainers, where we'd have people that were quote unquote unmotivated and would go to work with us once or twice a week, and then, you know, kind of tail off for a little bit, and then come back on, and then come to find out a lot of these people were doing Zumba,
yeah,
5 days a week. They're doing yoga 6 days a week. They're running. Like, they were finding some other form of physical activity that really met their needs and their energy levels and whatever they were interested in. And suddenly they were just all on board. And so we kind of came to realize that, oh, it doesn't necessarily matter that strength training can build your lean muscle quicker and stoke your metabolism better and all these sort of like buzzwordy things that are, you know, rooted in science. But we realized that that took much less of a precedent than the person in front of us that we were talking to and what they were interested in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. So that leads us to our fourth and final point, which is having a level of personal accountability. And I think it's, you know, there are going to be days where you want to work out. There are going to be days where you don't want to work out. And there are going to be days where you're sort of neutral about the whole thing. And so there is an element, even after you've achieved all the previous points, there is an element of like, you do have to get yourself up off the couch or wherever you are and get to the gym, or for us, go downstairs and go work out. There is a level of personal accountability. And one thing that I learned from, I forget who was talking about it, but it really changed the game for me in terms of my personal like getting up off the couch moment, was talking about workouts, not just like having the expectation that you're going to have an incredible workout every time, but understanding that, let's say 20% of your workouts are going to be good, really good. 20% of your workouts are going to be just not great. They're fine. And then everything in the middle is kind of just like a punch the clock workout. You don't feel extra motivated. You don't have a ton of energy. You don't feel bad, but you just are kind of plugging away at it. And I think that kind of gave me the mental freedom to be like, okay, I'm just punching the clock right now. I'm just moving the needle forward in terms of my consistency, and really helped with my personal accountability, at least, to be like, you know I'm not going to have the most incredible workout of all time, but I'm going to go downstairs, get my workout in, and then come back up and then move on to the next day. And we'll see if I have a better workout the next time around. And so there just needs to be an element of you punching the clock, just getting it done, basically.
Yeah.
And so I think as long as the first three are taken care of, it makes it a lot easier to get to that point.
Yeah, it almost becomes a moot point, because hopefully you don't even really need to rely on it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like, it's there if you need it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so everything is taken care of and you're like, okay, you know, I don't feel my best, but I'm going to go do it. And just have like this sort of like resolute attitude about it, that you're just punching the clock, getting it done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are our four solutions that are have different levels of motivation, not even motivation, just different levels of structure built in for you to find your quote unquote motivation and hopefully be a little bit more motivated to be more active, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in the end, we're kind of saying that how to get motivated to do your workouts is to not rely on motivation.
Yes.
Right? Like that's ultimately what we're saying, is that motivation isn't going to actually be the thing that's going to help you get to where you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
And it kind of actually, one thing that we haven't talked about is people's goals. Mm. And we haven't mentioned at all, like, we talked about like the start with your why. That kind of is where a lot of people start with this conversation, is like, well, what's your goal? What are you trying to accomplish?
What's your SMART goal? SMART measure. What is it?
Specific, measurable, specific, actionable
results.
Results driven.
Results oriented.
And time
efficient.
Now I forget what word we're even spelling. SMART.
SMART goal. But basically, we would get to this very specific goal where it was like, I want to lose 10 pounds in 3 months for X, Y, and Z purpose. And we would be like, yes, we found the goal. We found their why. We found the why they want to work out.
That will be your motivation. Now just return to this goal every day and you're going to be motivated.
Well, one thing that I love is that we would sit down for these sort of consultations, and we heard from some sort of fitness guru that don't just talk it out and write it down for them. Have them write it. So they'll be just so much more dedicated to their SMART goal. And we were eating that up. We were yes, this is so, we're inceptioning that this goal is in their minds right now. And then, yeah, when it wasn't working as well as we thought, we're like, okay, well, let's backtrack a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, what we've actually realized is that those goals, as much as like they, yes, maybe it's important to you, they're out of your control, mm-hmm. ultimately. Like, for, you know, you can't wish your way to a 10-pound weight loss or yeah. like think your way to meeting these goals. There has to be some action required. So then we would go into like, okay, this is your outcome goal. What are your behavior goals? What behaviors mm. are going to change? And that was better, right? Like once way we got better. To that point, that was much better. It was like, okay, what behaviors are you going to try to do to accomplish this goal? But something that we've been talking about more recently and really thinking about more deeply is that a lot of times when we're thinking about our clients and the journeys that they had been through with, I mean, there are people who started at Achieve when we opened our gym the day we opened and were there the full 8 years. Yeah. And we saw so many different journeys in terms of what people's goals were and what people wanted to accomplish. And what we realized is that a lot of times the goal shifted once they became more consistent with their workouts and their goal shifted from something that they felt like they should do.
Yep.
Whether it was lose weight or, you know, fit into a certain size jean, whatever it was, like something that externally people were telling them, the fitness industry was telling them that they should want or that they should do. And once they started to get consistent with their workouts, it would shift to things that they liked to do.
Yeah.
Their goals would become things that they enjoyed, that they wanted to do more of. So it became, oh, I just realized I've never lifted weights before. And now that I'm lifting, I want to see how heavy I can back squat. I want to see if I can back squat my body weight. And that would become their goal. And then they wanted to come to the gym because they love to back squat. They just learned how to do it and they were having fun with it. And they had a goal around that.
Yeah.
You're never like, I want to lose 10 pounds because it is fun for me to lose 10 pounds. Like, I've never heard anyone say yeah. that before. Like, a weight loss goal has never been something for me. And I have a history that we'll talk about in future episodes, but it was always a very shame-driven,
yeah.
sad, negative goal that I thought was going to push me forward and motivate me because I was so ashamed of my body. I was so ashamed of the way that I was showing up that that's what was going to get me into the gym.
Yeah.
And the reality is that it didn't, or it made my workouts miserable. It made me do things that were not healthy. It was never a good reason to get to my workouts. It was never a good motivation. But once I found things that I loved to do, my motivation was so much more natural. I didn't yeah. have to force myself into it because I was like, oh, I'm excited to see what I could do. I'm excited to see if I can accomplish this. And that's just a whole different approach to goal setting and motivation
yeah.
to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, we had that occur so many different times to the point where we would have our own side conversations where we would say, oh, so-and-so, they just basically flip. They just yeah. flip. Like now they want to trap bar deadlift X, Y, and Z. Now they want to get their first pull up. Now they want to do whatever skill that they just learned and they want to do it better. And it's like, okay, now we know they're locked in and they actually are enjoying the process, not just doing it because they feel like they should or they have to. And I think there's so many different areas where this happens, right? Where it's like, things that are like adjacent to strength training, like whether you are getting into, let's say we've had some people that were into like acro or circus or basically like body control, like calisthenics, and they'd want to get better at their handstand. And, or if they were a cyclist, they want to get better at, road biking or mountain biking or whatever. And there's also these sorts of different areas where you kind of dip your toes into the water, feel like you should do something that other people are saying that you should do. And then you find some element that you're like, oh, I really like this and I'm good at it. And then you latch onto that. And then it's just off to the races from there because you're just building momentum. And you are intrinsically doing more because you actually want to.
Yeah.
And that's like the coolest part of this, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So basically to sum it all up, we didn't necessarily talk about goals because it is ever-changing, and hopefully it's ever-changing based upon what season you are in life or what kind of interests you at that time period. So it definitely wasn't a top priority for us to address. Anything else you want to add along that front?
But I guess like goals can be, once your goal is more positive, it can be motivational.
That's true.
You know, yeah. So I guess it's like, we didn't want to include it in the list because I think that the way that goals are talked about is typically, you know, set a goal that is this outcome, like we were saying before, and then set up behaviors that are going to help you get to that outcome. And you just start to choose things that people have told you will work.
Yeah.
Not things that are actually motivating to you.
Yeah.
Right. And so like that just, again, it's only going to last, that works for a short period of time, but it's only going to last so long because you're going to start to either resent it because you haven't met your goal, or you're going to feel like you're going to feel disappointed because you're not meeting it and you're doing everything you thought you should be doing. It's like once your goal is actually something positive and something that you like to do, you're not in a rush necessarily to get there. You're a little bit more okay with the process because it's fun to be doing the actual work and it's fun to be trying to attain that goal. So goal setting, I think, is, or goal setting, maybe that's the difference, is that goal setting is different from having a goal.
Yeah, yeah.
I think goal setting can feel forced. It can feel like, oh, I'm supposed to want to do something. I'm supposed to have this goal. And that can feel really contrived. But having a goal, when it's really a goal and it's really something you like that can actually be very motivational. So allowing yourself to find things that might feel like, oh, I'm excited to try to accomplish that, but not feeling like you need to force that upon yourself.
Yeah, that's a really great distinction. And yeah, hopefully after you've listened to this podcast, you are extremely motivated to find a very reasonable workout program and have a level of accountability. And yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So unlike our previous iteration of our podcast, where we would basically look up questions like 20 minutes before the podcast would start, we're actually filming these and recording these in advance. So we actually have a little teaser for you for next episode. Yeah. Do you want to talk about our next topic?
So our next topic next week, we're going to be covering the top 5 reasons you're not seeing results in the gym. All right. And this is, results is kind of a broad overarching word. We're not talking about the top 5 reasons you're not losing weight, the top 5 reasons you're not, you know, lifting a certain amount of weight. We're just really talking about the top 5 reasons. And these are things that, these are sort of like broad overarching principles that we've come to consider sort of the most helpful things to keep in mind and to be looking at when you're planning your workouts, that are just going to keep you pushing the needle forward, like we've talked about.
Yeah.
So if you're not doing them, you can feel like you're sort of in this hamster wheel, just going nowhere.
Yeah, spinning your wheels.
Yeah.
And I talked about some of the sort of indicators of good workouts before, but we'll definitely really dive deep onto what makes for good workouts, why certain workouts aren't necessarily pushing the needle forward, and we will dive deep into those.
Yeah.
All right. So hopefully you enjoyed episode 1.
Is it episode 1 or 2? I feel like we still haven't decided because the trailer was it? It was kind of an episode.
The first official episode with an official topic.
First full length official episode. Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
Follow us at
Jason's, my first time Jason's on Instagram. New to Instagram, so
at Reasonably Fit Pod on Instagram. You can ask us any questions or leave any comments on this show's episode. And also make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, rate us, all that sort of good stuff. But we are excited to get this show rolling. And yeah.
Until next time, are we going to do an outro?
Oh yeah.
Until next time, sweat out happiness in. Do we still like that?
Yeah.
Tell us what you think in the comments at Reasonably Fit Pod on Instagram. If we should do an outro, if we should do something cooler at the end, you just let us know.
Until next time.
Sweat out.
Happiness in.
Yay.